ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. द मीनिङ्ग् आफ् दट् वर्स् इस् Yeah? The microphone.
I bow down to and offer my obeisances to the Guru who opened my eyes and took me from the darkness of ignorance and opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. Om Agyanantimarandasya Gyananjan Chalakya Chakshur Unmilitanayara Chakshur opened my eyes. So I bowed down to the Guru who moved me from the darkness of ignorance into knowledge, into the light of knowledge using the torch of knowledge.
Okay. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So you could turn to the page number 1 in the Bhagavad Gita. This is where this Mangalacharna is. So the second verse is when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So what is the meaning of this verse? What do we say, especially to Rupa Goswami? When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet?
It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that the name of Krishna be spoken in every town and village of the world. And Sri Rupa Goswami started the propagation of the holy name. He spread it from India to some of the other countries like Indonesia, Burma, etc.
How did Rupa Goswami start the propagation of the holy name?
He started the translations, I think, probably. Translating the books into different language, English.
Translating what books?
Rupa Goswami is a Nectar of Devotion, probably.
So he wrote that book, right?
He wrote that book, okay.
So what Shastra, what other scripture can you cite that backs that up, that Rupa Goswami had written Shastra or compiled all the kinds of scriptures in order to establish the movement of Lord Chaitanya all over the world for benefit of people everywhere? Can somebody help out? Where? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? I'm asking for, but that he wrote that book. What other part, third party? Go ahead, Satya.
We could read the song glorifying the six Goswamis by Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya, right? So in that Nana Shastra Vikara Nipuno.
Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Shadharma Samstapako Loka Namita Karino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Sri Chaitanya Kripa Baro Bhuvibhuvo Paravahantarako. No. Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Nandina Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Goshi Jiva Gopalako.
Right. I offer my respectful this is verse 2 of the prayers to the six Goswamis by Srinivasacharya.
Page number
22 in the songbook. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhakta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna.
It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita also that just as Krishna enlivened Brahma, enlightened him from within the heart, Teni Brahma Hridaye Adikavye Muyanti Yatsuraya, that similarly Lord Chaitanya enlivened the heart and empowered Rupa Goswami to give all the teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had brought and expand them for the benefit of the world. Hare Krishna. So, what else about Rupa Goswami? We're asking, it's the top of our Mangalacharna. Top of the prayers, we're offering respects to Rupa Goswami and asking for a shelter at his lotus feet. And then he has established this Lord Chaitanya's movement. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Yes? What about Rupa Goswami? Anything more? You want to say more about Rupa Goswami?
Sometimes we're called Rupanugas, which means followers of Rupa Goswami. So he's considered the foremost intimate disciple of Lord Chaitanya. So anyone who's a follower of Lord Chaitanya is also a follower of Rupa Goswami.
Thank you. Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sja. So the first line, Vande, unto, offer my respectful obeisances, Aham, I, Sri Guru, of my initiating spiritual master, or instructing spiritual master, Sri Yuta Padakamalam, unto the opulent lotus feet, Sri Gurun, unto the spiritual masters in the Parampara system, beginning from Madhavendra Puri, Vaishnavan, unto all the Vaishnavs, cha. This is page 10 in this songbook. So, Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. So we offer respectful obeisances unto our Guru, unto all our Gurus, to the opulent lotus feet of our Gurus, and to all the Gurus in the Parampara system. Wow, Karnath Prabhu is here on a Wednesday night. And then again we have Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam. So this is Sri Rupam under Srila Rupa Goswami, Sagrajatam with his elder brother Sri Sanatan Goswami. Who's Sagrajatam? Sanatana Goswami. So Agrajatam. Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam. Sahagana Raghunath Anvitam. With Raghunath Das Goswami and his associates. Tam, unto him, Sajivam, with Jiva Goswami. Sa Advaitam, with Advaita Acharya. Sa Vadhutam, with Nityananda Prabhu. Parijana Sahitam, and with Srivas Thakur and all the other devotees. Krishna Chaitanya Devam, unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, unto the lotus feet of the all opulent Sri Krishna and Radharani, Sahagana, with their associates, Sahagana. Lalita Shri Vishaka Anvitam, accompanied by Sri Lalita and Sri Vishaka Cha also. Let's do it from the top. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha. So I'll say the words for words and don't look, but you tell me what they mean. Vande. Aham. Shiguro. Of my initiating or my instructing spiritual master, Sri Yuta Padakamalam, unto the opulent lotus feet, Sri Gurun, yeah, plural gurus, that means all the gurus, in the Parampara system beginning from Madhavendra Puri, Vaishnavan, beginning from Lord Brahma and others coming from the very start of the creation. Cha. Sri Rupam. Sa Agrajatam. Sahagana Raghunath Anvitam. Tam. Unto him. Sajivam. Sa Advaitam. Sa avadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Anvitam. Translation, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and all the other preceptors on the path of devotional service. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas and unto the six Goswamis, including Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and their associates. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaita Acharya Prabhu, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates, headed by Srivas Thakur. I then offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and all the gopis, headed by Lalita and Vishaka. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. O my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. I offer my obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas and all others in the line of devotion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Today we're starting at the Bhagavad Gita in chapter number 3. This is Karma Yoga.
Question.
Yes. We need the Brihat Madanga.
Regarding the Panchatattva Mahamantra. Though at some point, I think in around 1977, there was some instruction that went out that Prabhupada wanted us to, instead of saying Shri Advaita Gadadhar, to start saying Jai Advaita Gadadhar. And can you explain that, what that was all about and what we should do?
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Well, there was a... Prabhupada used to say Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. And sahajas sometimes say Bhaja, 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 everything. And devotees were starting to say Bhaja this and Bhaja that. And Prabhupada didn't like the mood of it. That was my understanding at the time. And therefore he said, chant Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. I've heard both things, and I'd like to have a call out to a friend to check out to see. Yeah, but we definitely say Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu instead of Bhaja.
Yeah, I remember we used to always say Bhaja.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. So we're on Karma Yoga, Chapter 3. Arjunuvacha Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mata Budhir Janardana Tatkim Karmani Kore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava Vyami Shrineva Vakyena Budhim Moha Yasiva Me Tade Kam Vadanishchitya Yena Shreho Hamapnuyam Sri Bhagavanuvacha Loke smin tvivida nishta pura prokta mayanaka jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam na karma nama naranbhan naishkarmyam purushoshnute na cha sanyasa nadeva siddhim samadhi gacchati na hi kashchit shanamapi jatu tishchatya karma krit Karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jargunai karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudhatma mityachara suuchite yastvindriyani manasa niyamyar bhaterjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyate Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jhyayo yakarmanaha sharira yatrapi chate na prasidyed akarmanaha jagnar tat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara sahayagnya prajashvishtva purovacha prajapatihi Anena prashyavishyadvam eshavostrishya kamadhuk evan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuvaha parasparam bhavayanta shriya param avapsyata ishtan bhogan hivo deva tasyante avitaha teradatan apharaibhyaibhyo yo bhunkte stena eva saha jagna shishta sina shanto muchante sarvakil bishahi punjate tetugam papa ye pachantyat makaranat annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad annasambhavaha jagnad bhavanti parjanyo jagna karma samudbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam jagne pratishtitam evam pravartitam chakram nanu varta yatihaya agayur indriya ramo mogham parta sajivati yastvat maratireva syad atma triptascha manavaha atmanyeva chasantushtas tasya karyam navidyate naiva tasya kritenarto nakriteneha kashchana nachasya sarvabhuteshu kashyat artav yapashrayaha tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharan karma param apnoti purushaha karma naiva hi samsidhim astita janakalayaha loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat evitaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate name partasi kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana napnavaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakarmani yadi hyayam navarteyam chatu karman yatantritaha mama vart manu vartante manusha parta sarvashaha utsedye ormi loka nakaryam karmachedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyam ima prajaha sakta karma dyavidvamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvamstata shaktash chikirshur lokasangraham nabuddhi pedam janayet agyanam karma sanginam joshayet sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimutatma kartaham iti manyate tatva vitu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayaho guna gunesha vartanta iti matva vasajyate prakriter guna sammudha sajante guna karmasu tana kritsna vidomandan kritsna vinna vichalayet mai sarvani karmani sanyasyat yatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudyasva vigata jvaraha ime matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shadavanto nasuyanto muchante te pikarma vihi ye tve tad abhyasuyanto nanutishtanti me matam sarva jnana vimudham stan vitinashtan achetasaha sadrisham chestate swasya prakriter jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati indriyas indriyasyarte raga dvesha vyavastitau tayor navasham agachet tau yasya paripantinau shayan svadharmo vigunaha paradharmat svanustitad sudharme nidanam shreya paradharmo bhayabhayaha Arjuna uvacha atakena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha anicham api varshneya baladiva niyojitaha Shri Bhagavan vacha kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapatma vidyenam ihavairinam tumena vriyate hanir yata darsho malena cha yataul bhina vrito karbhas tata tenedam avritam avritam jnaname tena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushparena nalena cha indriyani mano bhudhir ashtyadhishthana muchate eter vimohayat yesha jnanam avrita dehinam tasmat tvam indriyanyado niyamya bharatarshabha papmanam prajahihenam jnanan vijnana nashanam indriyani prayanyahur indriyebhyah param manaha manasastu parabhudhir yo buddhe paratastu saha evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanamatmana jahi shatrum mahapaho kamarupa darasadam om tat sariti srimad bhagavad gita supanishatsu brahmavidyayam yoga shastre shri krishna arjuna sambade karma yoga nama tritiyodhyayah Hari Om. Translations. And this is like synchronized swimming. We have to stay the same pace. And one way is to observe the punctuation. And just make sure you're not going faster than the person next to you. Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruit of work? My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities is acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called the pretender. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind, and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in this way always remain free from bondage. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is simply a thief. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment fairly eat only sin. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of vice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living for satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for without attachment, one attains the Supreme. King says Janak attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to attain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. For if I ever failed to engage performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruit of results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached, but the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. For, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions, and who follow the teaching faithfully, without envy, become free from the bondage of fruit of actions. But those who, out of envy, disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly, are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another duty's perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Arjuna said, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? The Supreme Personality of God has said, it is lusty, O Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion, and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses, and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence still higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty-armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Purport. This third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness. By knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without considering impersonal voidness the ultimate end. How is this third chapter conclusively directive? What else about Krishna consciousness? Okay. So it's conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without considering impersonal voidness the ultimate end. So if one knows oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what? Then what's next? What happens then? What is that? See, he surrenders? Okay. Any other ideas or shastra? What's the natural result? Well, somebody comes to know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is... He worships him with all his heart. Okay, some verses, you gave one. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. One who knows me as the origin of everything, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he worships me with all his heart. And then how about bahunam janmanamante gadavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Someone comes to know Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Sa Mahatma Sudurlava. He's a great soul.
Yomam evam asamudho janati purushottama sa sarvavid pajate mang sarva bhavena bharata.
One who knows me as the Supreme Personality of God is known to be the knower of everything. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one in the 10th.
Shraddha has one. The same one. Yomam eva masamudo. This is in the end of the 15th chapter. Yomam eva masamudo. Janati purushottama. One who knows me is purusha uttama, the ultimate person. Yomam eva masamudo. What is that? Yomam eva asamudo. Without any doubt. Asamudo. Janati purushottama. He knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sasarva vid bhajati mam. Sarva bhavena bharata. Then he engages in full devotional service, right? So the result is of coming to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It changes everything. So this is sambandha gyan. Lord Chaitanya, yes?
Etang viputing yogang cha.
Verse number?
10:7.
Go.
Etang viputing yogang cha mama yoveti tatvataha. So vikalpena yogena yujyate natra sangshayaha. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt.
May I please have an Adi Leela? Quick vouch. Okay. Volume 1. And we talked about this last week also, didn't we? Because Siddhanta Balya Chitanakara. Thank you so much. Siddhanta Balya Chitanakara Alash Iha Hoite Lage Krishna Sudrid Manash. This is Kaviraj Goswami saying that by discussing the Siddhanta about how Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one gets sudrid manash. One's mind becomes fixed. And then in the next verse, didn't we discuss that last week, or was that in the Bhagavatam class?
I think it was Bhagavatam class, because I know I was here.
You're always here. Okay. Siddhanta Bhulya Chitta Nakara Alash. That comes 2:117, second chapter of Adi Leela, 117th verse. And the verse after that says, Chaitanya Mahimaha Jani, E Shab Shadante, Chitto Dridho E Loge, Mahima Jana Hoite. By such conclusive studies I know the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Only by knowing these glories can one become strong and fixed in attachment to him.
Also, in just to say the similar thing in the negative way, like you're saying now, in verse 9:24, Krishna says, I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices.
Mm.
Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. Yetu natu mam abhijananti tatvenata chavantite.
Bravo. So Siddhanta means not just what something is, it also means what it's not. So, yes, another one.
Just since we read this Karma Yoga chapter, in the purport, last purport said that it's conclusively said, but if we just read the Karma Yoga section, then it doesn't come out well. I think we have to pick out one or two verses. And I was thinking that verse number 30 actually clearly says, this is the first time he said that surrender all your work unto me. And because in the, I think that this was pointed out by Maharaj, Hanuman Prasak Maharaj, that this verse is actually very important because I think this is the first time Krishna is revealing himself.
Hmm.
And
nice.
So I was thinking, Lord has been talked about the prescribed duty, then. About what is the lust, and so what? How does it progress towards? And in a sense, what is the relation between this prescribed duty and then, like Krishna is giving, very gradually. So how do we understand that? Like the flow to reach to this.
Well, it's almost implicit in what you just said. I mean, you start off gradually. And wherever you can begin, you'll make progress. And by performing your work without attachment, then you get knowledge and you progress and you come to know. And by dovetailing whatever work you're doing with the purpose of Krishna and doing it for Krishna, you also get knowledge. And very specifically, it's mentioned that the Supreme is situated in acts of sacrifice. This is a big clue. It's a big verse. So when you find that out, when you know that the secret of life, which is revealed in this chapter, is performing sacrifice for Vishnu, that everything good comes from that, and that's where he is. He's in the yajna. Then you connect with Krishna, and you start off gradually by dedicating your work to Krishna. And you can't go all of a sudden because, as this chapter points out, Krishna points out in this chapter, that people are restrained by their previous habits. There's all kinds of vrittis that we have, or impressions that we've accumulated because of our previous contacts with sense activities. And even if you want to give them up, they're not going to let you so easily. They accumulate because of over time, and they have their own force over us. So, you know, Krishna says even a learned person can't just break free and do whatever they want. What can repression accomplish? There's a way in which we're controlled. So we have to start off gradually in whatever way we can. And that brings us, as a sacrifice, more into knowledge and more into the ability to sacrifice. And then we gradually advance in devotional service. Bali?
I was going through the third chapter also a couple of weeks ago, and the important thing is here, prescribed duties, because initially Arjuna was asking that why do you engage me in ghastly warfare, because intelligence is better than war. And conclusion is Krishna is giving that you need to develop the spiritual intelligence where, you know, you're purified. But there is also one word which is like a prescribed duties, which I got recently heard from Prabhupada, that how do you basically know that what is my prescribed duties or not? And in London or somewhere else, and he gave the examples, and he said that there is a sanskar, just like jata karma. So in that sanskar, basically, if someone is very perfect in that one, he can identify the person's characteristics, just like Parshuram and Bhrugu. They are even born in Brahmin families. He has the tendency of being a Kshatriya at the early age. And Vishwamitra, even though born in a Kshatriya family, he has the tendency of the Brahminical. In the Jata Karma, it was already decided at the time. But we do not have any perfect astrologer or somebody who can tell that what is your prescribed duties. So by gradually you become Krishna consciousness, you will be revealed by your spiritual master. That, you know, so prescribed duties, my point was saying that prescribed duties is very important in this one. And sometimes people, we get confused also. One day we may be thinking something, after a few months we think in a different way the same prescribed duties. So one has to be convinced what that means and or gradually understand that tendency. What is your thinking?
We've got another question behind you that we'll get to.
This is a comment so from the prescribed duties, it looks like you meant whether one is a Brahman, a Kshatriya, or a Vaisya, or a Sudra. From the examples you gave, you know, it looks like that's what you are looking for. But it's already said that in Kali Yuga, everyone is a Sudra. So from that, our prescribed duty is just to serve. Is that correct?
Vaishnavas take it like that. That's why we wear the little shika in the back partly. Vaishnavas are, you know, take that service mood that, you know, they can do whatever. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached the Gudicha temple and said, we'd like to wash the temple today. And the temple custodian came out and said, this isn't, you know, your duty to do this. But if you want to, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can do whatever you like. So you can wash the temple, you know, if you like to do that. So, you know, Vaishnav can perform any kind of duty to please Krishna.
Also, just a material point of view,
in South Korea, they do an analysis, which I was going through some research, that when the baby is born, likely in first 6 months, what they put is like 10 babies in the bed, and they play 5 television. And in the 5 television, they will put like one in sports, one in science, one is art. And they will watch the movement of the eyes of the particular kids where they are spotted. So they have some, you know, outcome how they trace it. And based on that, they basically diagnose that this person, we need to train them for sports, go to the football or soccer or whatever it is. And it comes out to be great. So it's basically maybe tendency is there within the body from the very beginning. It's one point of view.
I think it's interesting that, I mean, you know, Krishna's talking about here that there's these rules and regulations that, because we have to work, and that there's indriyasya indriyasya arte ragadvesha vivastita, that by when we see that we're regulated in a certain way, just like boys and girls, if they don't get married and they mix together, they're just going to be all kinds of problems. But if they taught to get married, then that becomes like, then they have regulation, and they have a relationship with each other, and they can control their senses. And so there are different regulations for different kinds of work. And when we talk about like what kind of occupational duty someone should have, they also have the system. Prabhupada talks in two ways. One, there's a prescriptive thing: if you're a Brahmin, you should do this kind of work. And there's a descriptive thing where he's saying, you know, in every society there are these classes. You know, the different modes of nature are associated with different kinds of work, and people are working under different modes of nature. And we have to learn to elevate, to become a devotee of Krishna, we have to really learn to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness. But we can do whatever kind of work. And in our society, I mean, they have all kinds of aptitude tests and career guidance counseling, and, you know, people are attracted, you know, different people are attracted to different kinds of work. Somebody wants to be a college professor, and somebody wants to be a pipe fitter, you know, and or doesn't know what he wants to do, but, you know, has to do something to make a living quickly, and ends up being engaged in, you know, farm labor or, you know, whatever. So that's going on anyway, that in every society people are doing different kinds of work according to the somehow to their destiny, their fate, their modes of nature. But then it is important that there are rules and regulations associated with different kinds of work. So those who are really going to do the actual work of Brahman, is because the college professors and philosophers and scientists aren't, in today's society, they're occupying the position of the head of society, you know, the intellectuals of society, but they don't actually have the qualities to teach people about spirit, you know, to do the duty of actually guiding society so that it will be, you know, spiritually successful and people will make spiritual advancements. So
what's your main point?
I was just responding to Bali Mardan's point a little bit about the Korean method of doing it as babies. I think my main point is that people are engaged in different occupations, and then they have to learn to regulate themselves according to work. I mean, okay, my main point is this. The whole thing is Krishna's telling Arjuna, you have to work, and you have to work according to some occupational duty. The sweep of the whole argument is that Arjuna first started making all these arguments about why not to fight the battle, and Krishna said, you know, you're talking on the bodily platform, you know, you're not even on the spiritual platform, you're considering yourself. So then he started teaching about the difference between the body and the soul. Then he started teaching about Buddhi yoga and working without attachment, and talking about how a person whose intelligence is fixed, isn't under this, tolerates the pleasures and pains and isn't under the sway of the senses. And that leads to Arjuna asking this question, well, if you say that my intelligence should be fixed and I should just be on the spiritual platform, why should I do anything anyway? Why shouldn't I just sit still? And then Krishna says that there's these two kinds of approaches that people who are endeavoring for self-realization have. The jnanis have they do the sankhyanam, jnana yoga. They do jnana yoga, the sankhis, the analytical empiricists. And then the others, the yogis, they engage their senses under regulation, and that's better. And this leads up then to the culmination through chapter 4 and chapter 5. But I guess the point that I'm making is that he says you have to work, and the work has to be done under regulation, and it has to be done for the pleasure of Vishnu as a sacrifice.
There
and
it
that
is.
Even if you're self-realized, I like in the verse 318, he's, you know, in 317 he says, well, one who's fully self-satisfied, like Haridas Thakur, you know, he doesn't really have any work to do, really, doesn't have to do anything. But then he says, he doesn't, in 318 he says, he doesn't have any reason not to do it either. He doesn't have any reason not to do his duties. And for the purpose of not bewildering ordinary people, in order to set a good example, people that are, that do have attachment and that need to be properly trained through regulation, he sets an example by working and, you know, working under regulation. Otherwise, if everybody was just, you know, do whatever they felt like, whenever they felt like it, they would just, everything would go to hell. So they, you know, they have to work in society. You have responsibilities. You have to, everyone has to become regulated, and that that regulation then can be dovetailed toward sacrifice, playing a role in a larger community endeavor to accomplish God's mission in the world.
Thank you.
Sorry it's long, but...
It's okay. We got a lot out of it, that's for sure. We're going on with the last purport. The first sentence was, this third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 190, without considering impersonal voidness the ultimate end. And then we had given some verses about this discovery that I'm a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what happens when that realization comes. Because Prabhupada's saying here that this is, it's directive towards this, knowing one is the eternal servitor, means then your activities become dedicated towards him. We prove that through Shastra. And if you consider impersonal voidness the ultimate end, then is there a different set of rules or will your impetus be different than if you discover he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Different, right?
Yeah.
Because?
Because we won't be dedicated to
there's nobody to serve. In the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. Desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. One may not... Okay, so where does Krishna mention in this chapter... how to get strength to control the mind and the senses? What does he recommend to overcome lust? In fact, he mentions that nityavarina, that this lust is the eternal enemy of the Lord, of the living entity. And so, how does he recommend that we overcome it? Pardon? Speak up. Spiritual strength. Overcome it by spiritual strength. But how do you get spiritual strength? What does he recommend?
Regulating the senses.
Yes. Regulating the senses. So he recommends that you regulate the senses, and by regulating the senses, one, you'll gradually come to knowledge. Do you have the verse? Niyamya. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bhardas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Purport. The Lord advised Arjuna to regulate the senses from the very beginning so that he could curb the greatest sinful enemy, lust, which destroys the urge for self-realization and specific knowledge of the self. Gyan refers to knowledge of the self as distinguished from non-self, or in other words, knowledge that the spirit soul is not the body. Vigyan refers to specific knowledge of the spirit soul's constitutional position and his relationship with the Supreme Soul. It is explained thus in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31, Gyanam paramam guhyam me tad vigyana samanvitam. Virginia Kumar Prabhu, could you pull that 2931, please? Saharasya, sarahasyam tadangam cha grahana gaditam grahana gaditam maya. The knowledge of the Self and Supreme Self is very confidential and mysterious, but such knowledge and specific realization can be understood if explained with their various aspects by the Lord Himself. Bhagavad Gita gives us that general and specific knowledge of the Self. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, and therefore they are simply meant to serve the Lord. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So from the very beginning of life, one has to learn this Krishna consciousness, and thereby one may become fully Krishna conscious and act accordingly. Lust is only the perverted reflection of the love of God, which is natural for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life or from the time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of human life. So, from any stage of life or from the time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness. So, how to regulate the senses in Krishna consciousness?
Utilizing them in the service of Lord.
Okay. Like what?
Like engaging eyes in taking darshan of the Lord and in reading books, and tongue in tasting prasadam, and smelling flowers which are offered to Lord only.
Okay, so that you're calling that regulation of the senses in Krishna consciousness, and that purifies the senses?
Yeah.
Can you give some shastra? Somebody help him out. Where's a verse that, yes? Savai manak Krishna padara vindayo vaichamsi vaikunta gunarna varnane. Yes? You had one? She's quoting from the back of the room without the benefit of the Brihat Madanga microphone. That's Vishaya Vini Vartande Niraharasav Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Jushva Navartate. And why did you quote that verse? Better give her a mic.
I was quoting from the perspective of developing a superior taste, param drishtva nivartate. So we have senses and the senses have to be engaged, but when we try to engage them in a better option, like Rajaram Prabhu was saying, that the tongue wants to taste, so taste prasadam, the eyes want to see something, so you see the deities. So that we were saying that you regulate your senses.
Nice. And then Akurnath Prabhu, you gave Savai Manat Krishna Padara Vindaye Bachamchi Vaikunta Gunarna Varnane.
So that's describing how the king, Ambarish, he engaged all of his different senses in service to Krishna. Like he engaged his eyes in seeing the deities, he engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of the tulsi leaves and the lotus feet of the Lord. He engaged his legs in traveling to the different temples and places of pilgrimage, his sense of touch in touching the devotees. And so his speech was in talks of Vaikuntha. His mind was also engaged.
Okay, we got the idea. So he engaged all his senses. He was a king, and king has lots of sense stimuli, and then he just engaged it all in Krishna's service. Everything was for Krishna. His whole palace and all the food and all the jewelry and everything like that. So he's given as an example of somebody who's completely sense-controlled.
And I was thinking for us, this idea of regulation, you know, like if we have jobs, we have to get to work at a certain time. So we have to wake up at a certain time, especially if we're going to chant japa before we go to work, you know, and everything. We have to regulate. Yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshta sikarmasu. We have to eat something, but we should eat not just indiscriminately, but we have to eat yukta hara. We have to eat under regulation, and we have to sleep under regulation, and we have to do all these things under regulation to properly...
Okay, I have a few verses from the first canto of the Bhagavatam, fifth chapter. Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 1533. For those of you who are keeping score at home, it's on page 284. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tadeva hyamayam dravyam napunati chikitsitam. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Evam dranam kriya yoga sarve samsrittihetavaha ta evatma vinashaya kalpante kalpita pare. Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Yadatra kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam jnanam yattad adhinam hi pakti yoga samanvitam. Whatever work is done here, in this life, for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Kurvana yatta karmani bhagavat chikshaya sakrit grananti gunanamani krishnana krishnasyanusmaranti cha. While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. Did that work for anybody? Atashi Krishna Nama Adi Nabaved Krayam Indre Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyada. That by beginning devotional service, engaging the tongue in seva, then Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. Gurna.
It reminded me of the verses in this chapter, Sakta Karmanya Vidvangso. You know, that just as the ignorant people are engaged in fruitive work and they're engaged in their duties. And earlier in that chapter, chapter 5 that you were reading, Narada Muni was telling Vyasadeva that, you know, you had misled people by delineating the path of fruitive work of, you know, of karmakanda in your compiling the Vedas. And but now he's saying that the same activities that people do as fruitive activities as part of their, you know, sacrifices in order to get some enjoyment afterwards, if they're done but as part of a sacrifice to Vishnu in order to please Vishnu, that the same activities that were the cause of bondage, because before they were being done to achieve some fruit to enjoy, now they destroy the tree of work and they become the cause of liberation. So earlier he was saying, Jagupsitang Dharmakrite, and if, I don't remember the verse, but he's saying, you know, that if people are encouraged to, in religion, they're encouraged to be good because you'll get rewarded when you're good, you know. You follow the rules and regulations because then you'll enjoy the reward. If they're encouraged that way, he was saying this is not very good because then they won't be willing to give up the enjoying mentality. You know, they won't be, I mean, the essence of yoga is to realize we're not the enjoyers. Krishna's the enjoyer. We're his servants. But then he's saying that, you know, the same activities can be used for the purpose. You know, if Vyasadeva describes the Srimad Bhagavatam and the pastimes of Krishna and the science of Krishna and everything like that, people can still engage in their ordinary dharmas, their ordinary duties, but they can do it as devotees.
Yes.
In this purport, Prabhupada, in one sentence, he simplifies and describes the whole process of overcoming lust in one sentence, really, and the whole, and describes the whole process. And if we read, like, in the about the middle of the purport, he says, one may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in the transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and mind. And here's the real key point. It's a long sentence. By steady intelligence directed toward one's pure identity. So that sounds a little abstract. What Prabhupada is saying here is that if we direct our attention back towards ourself, towards our real identity, which is eternal servant of Krishna, which means to engage everything in Krishna's service, if that's where our attention is, then we'll have the experience of the self in relationship to Krishna, and then we'll be satisfied. And as long as we don't have the experience of who we really are and our relationship with Krishna, then we'll be under the influence of lust, and we won't be satisfied. And so, as Prabhupada would often say, you know, we should engage in full Krishna consciousness. So full Krishna consciousness is really the panacea to lust. But it means knowing, you know, where our attention is at every moment and directing our attention, instead of towards the mind and to the body, towards that which is maintaining the body and the mind, which is the self, the pure consciousness that we are. And we only have that experience if our attention is directed in that direction. Otherwise, we actually may be engaged very actively. But if our attention is somewhere else, if it's on the mind and the desires that are in the mind, even though we're engaging in service, the result may take a very long time because we're still cultivating the lust, even though we're doing the service. So that's the key point, as Prabhupada says, by steady intelligence directed toward one's pure identity. So part of that steady intelligence also means by receiving instructions and guidance from higher authorities, because that's what helps us actually come to the point where we can direct our awareness back towards the self and back towards Krishna.
Thank you. Yes?
Is that Prabhuji was mentioning to identify that identity, to focusing to your identity. Is that the prescribed duty too?
Your question is it our prescribed duty?
To engaging and to realizing that identity and the way it, and to engage that to the to the service.
Yes. This is our main duty is to engage in Krishna's service. And all other kinds of duties, dharma projita kaitavo traparamo nirmatsaranam satam. The theme is that our goal, the theme is that we must become fully engaged, all our senses and our mind and intelligence engaged in Krishna's service. And the ultimate purpose of life is to do that. So Bhagavatam starts off by saying that if you're performing any kind of duty and you're not coming to that point, then he says, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Any kind of duty that you're performing that doesn't come to this point of realizing Krishna and developing love for him is a useless waste of time. Shreya Shutim Bhakti Mudasya Te Vibho Klishantiye Kevala Bodha Labdeye. Brahma says it in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Shreya Shutim Bhakti Mudasya Te Vibho, that The highest goal of life is attained by bhakti. Klishyantiye kevala bodha labdhaye. Klishyantiye kleshala eva shishyate. Somebody gives that up to the process of bhakti and directing oneself towards all one's work towards the service of Krishna, and just engages in the cultivation of knowledge without Krishna in the center, then it's described to be like a person who is beating on the empty husks of grain to try to get some fruit. It's already gone. There's nothing in there, but he's beating on it. So shrama evihi kevala means certainly it's a waste of time. There are two rules which are mentioned as always remembering Krishna. Smartavyasa tatam Vishnur vismartavyo na jatuchit, and vismartavyo na jatuchit, never forgetting Krishna. And sarva vidhina sevasur, all the other vidhis that are there throughout the Vedas are kinkara, they're servants of these two things. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Another verse Prabhupada quotes all the time is that if one has come to the point of remembering Krishna all the time, what is the use of all these other rules and regulations? And if one does all the rules and regulations but doesn't come to the point of thinking of Krishna or realizing Krishna, what is the use of performing all those rules and regulations? So our prime duty is to remember Krishna, and Krishna gives it as an open secret in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, Manmana Pavamad Bhakto Manyaji Mam Namaskuru. Just think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, certainly you will come to me without a doubt. So in Kali Yuga, we have a truncated life. There's not much time, and there's a lot of disturbance that we have to take as soon as possible. As I like what Prabhupada said here, I liked everything Prabhupada said, but especially like something he said that as soon as one comes to understand the importance of devotional service, then take to it. Karna? Prabhu? Okay, I want somebody to figure out a quadrant system for the microphones. I was thinking we could make one, you know, two areas that either that or we can hang them from the ceiling.
Regarding that, you know, yena, kena, pracharena, that point that, you know, all the other rules, if somehow or another you can fix your mind on Krishna, all the rules are meant for that purpose. I was reading, the Prabhupada gave a class in Gorakhpur in about 1971, and he was speaking on the sixth canto. And the glories of the holy name, and how Ajamil, just by chanting the holy name, became relieved from all the sins. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the class this verse that Sridhar Swami, the original commentator, had commented that he actually was saying all the great Mahajans, Manu, and all the leaders of religious principles, it was as if you know, someone who doesn't know the mritta sanjivani is a kind of a tonic that you can take that even if you're a dead person, it will bring you back to life, and it's this wonderful medicine. But if someone doesn't know about mritta sanjivani, then they take the bitter medicine, these like the three kind of bitter medicines like neem and these other bitter medicines, which aren't as good. So he was saying that Manu and all the great Mahajans and who laid down the laws of religion for human society and everything, Parashara Muni and so forth, he said it was as if they didn't know the Mritta Sanjivani, that just by chanting the holy name you can achieve everything, and you don't have to go through all these gorgeous, gigantic Vedic religious rituals and so forth for purification and you know, what do you call it, atonement, prayashchitta, and so forth. But then, and Srila Prabhupada also quoted that famous verse by Madhavendra Puri about how now I just remember the enemy of Kamsa, and, you know, oh, my morning bath, oh, my prayers three times a day, you know, oh, my offerings to the ancestors, you know, I offer obeisances, please forgive me, I'm sorry, I can't do it anymore, but I'm just remembering Krishna, and that's sufficient for me. But then Prabhupada said it's not for the neophytes, this 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 understanding that just chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient is dangerous.
Okay, then let's come back to regulating the senses. So in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that you should think of me all the time and just fix your mind on me. And if you can't do that, then you should practice the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, because by doing that, you'll come to the point of remembering me. And if you can't do that, then you should work for me. And Prabhupada gives that definition of work as doing something, being gainfully employed, but then giving the fruits of the work, your money, to spread Krishna consciousness. If you can't do that, then you should work and give your money to some good cause. If you can't do that, then there are, especially, he mentions meditation, cultivation of knowledge and sacrificing the fruits of your labor, which is highly recommended by the acharyas, because by doing that, ultimately one comes to knowledge. Just as there's fire within wood, similarly by the sacrifice of giving up the fruits of your labor, say the acharyas, then you'll also come to the point of knowledge very quickly. And so there's a progression, and especially in our practice, in the beginning there's vidhi bhakti, which means we have to, even in a way, just like in the military, when it's time to get up, it's time to get up. I was thinking about that today because I was cleaning my room meticulously, every corner and every place, and I was thinking, this is like the military, you know, then the sergeant comes in and tests everything and says, is this clean, is that clean? And, you know, when you wake up, you get up at 4 o'clock, you don't get up at 4:01, you know, for military training. And in Vaidhi Bhakti, when we're beginning, we must follow the order of the spiritual master and not deviate from that. By that, gradually, we'll become transcendental and develop our own taste for regulating the senses anyway. It'll become natural. You brought up the verse, Param Drishva Navartate. In the beginning, I may not have a taste for performing the rules and regulations or for doing the devotional service all the time. Sometimes maybe yes and sometimes maybe no. But if I continue to do it in a regulated way, then gradually I will develop that taste, and I'll do it spontaneously. And that brings me to the next progressive stage of devotional service, that I develop a spontaneous taste for doing that. And then gradually the mind comes to an attraction for hearing and chanting on its own, and the regulation becomes easy because it's the thing that we naturally want to do. So we have to have regulation of the senses in the process of devotional service. That's what Prabhupada says at the end of this purport. And I'll just finish the purport. Desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. One may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. This is the sum total of this chapter. In the immature stage of material existence, philosophical speculations and artificial attempts to control the senses by the so-called practice of yogic postures can never help a man towards spiritual life. He must be trained in Krishna consciousness by higher intelligence. And Rajendra, you gave me this verse. It's 2931, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Jnanam Panamakuhya Me Yad Vijnana Samanvitam Saras Sarahasyam Tadangam Cha Grahana Gaditam Maya. The personality of Godhead said, knowledge about me as described in the scriptures is very confidential, and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up very carefully. Purport. Lord Brahma is the topmost devotee of the Lord within the universe. and therefore the personality of Godhead replied to his four principal inquiries in four important statements, which are known as the original Bhagavatam in four verses. These were Brahma's questions. 1. What are the forms of the Lord both in matter and in transcendence? 2. How are the different energies of the Lord working? 3. How does the Lord play with his different energies? 4. How may Brahma be instructed to discharge the duty entrusted to him? The prelude to the answers is this verse under discussion, wherein the Lord informs Brahma that knowledge of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is stated in the revealed scriptures, is very subtle and cannot be understood unless one is self-realized by the grace of the Lord. The Lord says that Brahma may take the answers as he explains them. This means that transcendental knowledge of the Absolute Supreme Being can be known if it is made known by the Lord himself. By the mental speculation of the greatest mundane thinkers, the Absolute Truth cannot be understood. The mental speculators can reach up to the standard of impersonal Brahman realization, but factually, complete knowledge of transcendence is beyond the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Thus, it is called the Supreme Confidential Wisdom. Out of many liberated souls, someone may be qualified to know the Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said by the Lord himself that out of many hundreds of thousands of people, one may try for perfection in human life, and out of many liberated souls, one may know him as he is. Therefore, the knowledge of the Personality of Godhead may be attained by devotional service only. Rahasyam means devotional service. Lord Krishna instructed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita because he found Arjuna to be a devotee and friend. Without such qualifications, one cannot enter into the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one cannot understand the Personality of Godhead unless one becomes a devotee and discharges devotional service. This mystery is love of Godhead. Therein lies the main qualification for knowing the mystery of the Personality of Godhead. And to attain the stage of transcendental love of Godhead, regulative principles of devotional service must be followed. The regulative principles are called Vidhi Bhakti, or the devotional service of the Lord, and they can be practiced by a neophyte with his present senses. Such regulative principles are mainly based on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and such hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord can be made possible in the association of devotees only. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five main principles for attaining perfection in the devotional service of the Lord. The first is associating with devotees, hearing, Prabhupada put in parentheses. The first is associating with devotees, in parentheses, hearing. Doesn't mean playing pool. Second is chanting the glories of the Lord. Third, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the pure devotees. Fourth, residing in a holy place connected with the Lord. And fifth, worshiping the deity of the Lord with devotion. Such rules and regulations are parts of devotional service. So as requested by Lord Brahma, the Personality of Godhead will explain all about the four questions put forward by Brahma and others also, which are parts and parcels of the same questions. So I was saying that we have only a minimal amount of time in this life to practice devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj pointed it out also. He said that we waste time sleeping and so on. And if you notice, it takes a lot of time just to maintain the body and get your main duties done. And so it's important to make a stand in devotional service, to make a vrat. Somewhere make a vrat. Wherever it is, you can make a determination to practice a certain amount of direct hearing every day without fail. And that can it will increase from that point. Sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration always increases. And it has its effect. Once it enters into the ears and into the heart, it will change our consciousness. And when we change our consciousness, then our external world will also change. So regulative devotional service, especially nowadays, not many people live in ashrams. Well, they live in grihastha ashrams mostly. But within that ashram, it's important to find a way to regulate your senses, especially by hearing, having a regulated system for hearing every day. Any comments about that? Is it easy for you, living outside, working, and regulating yourself in hearing and chanting? And if so, tell us how it's become easy for you. Go ahead.
I wanted to say how, you know, my experience as, you know, when I joined the movement and I moved into a temple and there were a whole group of brahmacharis living together and, you know, we all had to be at Mangalarti, you know, we all had to be, you know, if we weren't out on Sankirtan in time, you know, or we didn't get ready for Sankirtan in time, our Sankirtan leader was there yelling at us and stuff. But it was very easy that way because of the peer pressure. It might not have been comfortable all the time, but it was, you know, actually it was mostly because you knew you had to do it. It was just the, you didn't have the mind to wrestle with. You didn't have to think, will I go to Mangalarti today or not? You know, somebody was actually, I remember one devotee used to actually wake me up by actually standing, you know, when it was time to get up, he would come up and grab my hands and pull me onto my feet. And then I was up, you know. And then you roll up your sleeping bag and wash the floor, you know, and you go. And there's everything is regulated like you're in the army. So it's easier. But then there is a sense that when you actually are doing it on your own, you know, you're like you may be living in a temple and that's where you get your food from and your shelter from and everything. And you have to do it because it's your job. But then when you're actually living on your own and you have your own house and you can do whatever you want, if you do devotional service anyway, there's an extra sense that I feel that, you know, you're doing it voluntarily and without so much. Both are nice. It's nice to put yourself in a situation where you're sort of carried along by, you know, that this is your job, you're in the army and everybody's doing it and you better do it or else you don't cut the mustard. But it's also nice to actually learn in grihastha ashram that you have to do everything voluntarily, and you have, even though it's harder, you have to learn to regulate yourself and make plans for yourself and follow.
Thank you. Others who are successfully hearing and chanting, regulating their senses at home? Hands are going up all over the room. Come on, help me out here. Work with me, people. What do you do? How do you stay in grihastha ashram and stay close to the transcendental sound vibration and regulate your senses?
I also find that in compared to the grihastha ashram, if we live together, then it will be easier to go according to some schedule. At home, there is a lot of freedom, and there is no pressure. So it's kind of difficult to...
So what I'm asking, though, is a different thing. I'm asking about what works for you. What is working for you? I want to hear some solutions. Shraddha?
Yeah, that's your shot.
So in the grihastha ashram, there are disturbances. So I'm trying to do all your devotional activities before the disturbances actually begin. Mm. Is one way of staying there. And
means?
I really like the, for example, we get up at 5 o'clock, the chat team members, and we recite the Bhagavad Gita before the rest of the family's demands start coming on us.
And there's another point there that you're doing it together. So it's long distance, but and you're not coming to temple, but still you feel the same kind of impetus from group association. Group association is redundant. From association that Akurnath Prabhu was talking about, because you know you have to be on the call, right? So others will say, where's Shraddha? And so you have to be on the call. So you start early before everyone else starts calling you on the phone, because 5 o'clock is not an okay time to call. You have a solution? Yes, practical solutions. How do how to have super sadhana in the grihastha ashram. Here's what, the topic right now.
As a growing up, I had seen our temple president's wife, Mother Radhakun.
Yeah.
She had, Prabhupada tape goes on constantly. I'm 24/7. If it's bhajans, if it's not bhajan, it's lecture. She had 8 kids. But she always had vibration going on. Mm-hmm. And I know that even just a few years back, I walked into her house. And more the feeling I had that I would be hearing Prabhupada. And actually from her, I learned also to have vibration goes on in my 4 rooms in the house. And if one side is CC going on or other side is Prabhupada chanting or somehow or other, I feel like catching the vibration. It just puts mind to rest after all day of running around. And another point that on Ekadashi, when you send out that email to read, read a Krishna book, and I'm like, yeah. After like a whole week of struggling or many days you haven't read in a while, and when we saw that email, even though we had to squeeze our time in, but it just felt like, yes, this is what something...
Well, just so you know, 27 devotees called in.
Wow, Jai.
I announced it only a few hours before the time, and then I was surprised how many people came. Actually, I wasn't that surprised, knowing the devotees here, but I was happy that everyone checked in. 27, just in a few hours.
So thank you very much.
I like your idea of wiring your house so that the vibration is always going. Always have a way, you know, when you move from the one room to the next, so the vibration is going. Recently, Nirkula and I put a speaker system in throughout the house in the ceiling, and then it's going from one central location. And we used to always have the vibration going, but you have to move it from one room to the next. And now it's always on. And the Chaitanya Bhagavata or the Chaitanya Charitamrita has been going nonstop for the last several months. So whenever you walk in, then you're always hearing something. And also in your car, you can have it set up in your car. You know, when you walk out to work on the garden, you can take something in your pocket to hear the transcendental vibration. So that's really nice advice. And the devotee she was talking about is a really wonderful book distributor. We see her every year in Vrindavan distributing books outside of Prabhupada's Samadhi at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, Radhakund Devi Dasi. Okay, positive solutions for super sadhana in the grihastha ashram.
I've been trying for years, few years, from the time I came to America, that while cooking I hear lectures, like same what Hansi Mataji is saying, and that has helped me a lot while cooking and while taking prasadam. So together... me and my wife, you know, while taking prasadam, at least we hear for half an hour to 45 minutes, and that really inspires us in Krishna consciousness.
Nice. So while you're cooking, you can hear.
I spend majority of my day driving, so I play while I'm driving. Either I will play things in my iPhone or in the CDs.
And so no problem getting caught in traffic, right?
Yes.
Because, yeah. Satyadev Prabhu and I always, if he's driving, I read. We always have the vibration going. When we're in Japan, sometimes we travel for a few days on trains and cars and things like that. And we like it because nobody can reach us by phone. And we just hear, I think we read the whole Brihat Bhagavatamrita one time, traveling by train and on the cars and things like that. Yeah, and hearing in the car is a really nice thing to do. That's something you can do to stay in contact with the vibration. Shraddha.
One more thing I wanted to add was, and not particularly with to the grihastha ashram, but those of us who are in jobs, what I do is I have the luxury of 2 monitors in my office, and on one of them I open the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and whenever I get a little time, I'll just, you know, look at that. People don't know what I'm doing.
Of course, this is being broadcast internationally.
They only know Shraddha.
S- super tips. Another.
This one goes to Akrunath Prabhu. I was asking him, how do you memorize all these verses the other day? And he said, like, you know, you pick up a verse and then just, you know, whenever you get some time, try to memorize it. And my memory is very, very weak. I have a tough time trying to memorize verses. So I just jotted down the first verse. And it's been 3 days. I haven't yet memorized it, but I'm still carrying it with me. You know, some words are becoming familiar now. So the idea is that kind of like, you know, do time division multiplexing whenever you have free times in between, free
what
time
slots. What is multiplexing?
Multiplexing is when you do multiple things, you know, all together. And you, so you divide your time.
Is it the same as multitasking?
Yes.
Multiplexing, yeah, multitasking.
Yeah. Multitasking.
Okay.
And so you divide your time. Like, you know, you'll never get 1 hour solid to sit down and read, but you will get 1 hour worth of free time distributed
throughout
the day.
I think that's an important principle, yeah, is to just don't think that a moment is insignificant. Take advantage of it, because in that very moment, you can absorb a lot and it'll stick in your mind. I remember when you were in the fire department and you forgot all about it. Sorry, I reminded you. He had to sometimes work for 48 hours in a row without sleeping, and then other times, you know, he'd be sleeping, but they'd wake him up, you know, to go to emergencies all the time. But I just remember how you were, you know, you would be so focused on, in the time that you were reading the Bhagavatam, you were also reading Prabhupada's letters, all Prabhupada's letters at that time. Do you remember that? Can you say something about that? What the experience was, even though you had an intense job? I mean, I can't imagine a more intense job than that, than what Satyadeva Prabhu was doing every day.
Well, I just, you gave me the set of the small Bhagavatam, so I could always carry those around. So I always, especially after midnight. After midnight, usually me and my partner were busy and everybody else was sleeping, because the ambulance was a lot more busier than the fire engine or the truck. So if I had fallen asleep for a half an hour or an hour, I couldn't go back to sleep. So once I was up after midnight, I knew we were going to get 3 or 4, maybe 5 more calls, so I wouldn't even bother trying to lie down. I would just read the Bhagavatam till the next call came in, and because everybody else was sleeping. And I think I did that for about that style for about 7 years, and I read from the first canto to the 10th canto, just by reading, you know, free time after midnight. And a lot of times it was only reading for 20 minutes or, you know, 10 minutes. And my, because I was so tired, my attention wasn't very good. I didn't absorb that much, but sometimes I would come across a verse or a purport that really, really inspired me. So I would just keep reading that verse, or I would just keep reading that purport, sometimes for the rest of the night or for a couple of nights in a row. But so, you know, because I was working 24 hours, that was the only time that I had to read, and so it worked out. And then when I would come home, then I would crash and go to sleep, and then, you know, after I'd got up, I'd do chant my rounds and read like that. But just every day was a little bit different, you know, my schedule. So it wasn't like I worked from 9 to 5. So I just learned to adjust myself. You know, on the days I worked, I had one schedule. On the days I didn't work, I had a different schedule. And I remember one thing that inspired me reading Prabhupada's letters was a devotee asked Prabhupada, "What can I do? I'm so busy working. I can't attend the Bhagavatam class, and I don't have that much time to read." And Prabhupada told him that quality was much more important than quantity. So it wasn't so much how much you were reading, it was like, what is the quality of when you are reading? And Prabhupada advised the person the devotee to just write down a sloka and to carry it with him in his pocket and to just pull it out during the day and meditate on that sloka. And he said that would be much more powerful than sitting down for an hour and reading but spacing out, you know.
Nice. This is a principle to don't count out the minutes and the half hours and the hour that you have during the day to take advantage of hearing and chanting, because it's a cumulative process. Whatever you can do in whatever situation of life you're in now, fill it in with the practice of devotional service, specifically hearing. And as you do that, then the sound vibration will attract Krishna and your heart will become purified and you'll have more opportunity for devotional service. So we heard the third chapter. We also discussed the Mangalacharna prayers and their meaning in the beginning of the class. We had some discussion about the meaning of prescribed duties. We talked about regulating the senses. We had some tips for super sadhana within the grihastha ashram. Damodar, did you hear any of them when you were moving? You did, okay. And we also completed a complete chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We chanted chapter 3. And for those of you who are following along in Chad, that's the chapter of the month, isn't it? Didn't we already start on Ekadashi? I did anyway. Yeah. So we're chanting chapter 3 every day, 43 verses in that chapter. And here we are. So we've completed another yajna of hearing. We heard from first canto of Bhagavatam, second canto of Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and today we didn't hear anything from Sri Upanishad, but you can listen to it on the way home. Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribo. So we'll put away all the books and the asans, and we'll have an artik. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.